You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
Comms, ask them to identify themselves and transmit their clearance code.
Yes, sir.
What's the word, Comm?
I'm receiving their signal now, sir. They're Jedi! The signal's an old Jedi clearance code. Captain, who are they?
Spoilers.
Thank you, New Republic Captain and Comms Officer, for the spoiler warning. Again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me. Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut. Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings.
Buckle up.
If we don't stop Thrawn, everything will be in vain.
You have no power.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
We have a lot of work to do.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
Andrew never got to finish my training. Before the end of the Clone Wars, I walked away from him and the Jedi. Just like I walked away from Alyssa. But one thing we didn't walk away from was the listeners. We are back, baby.
I was so flattered when you said that.
Alyssa, thank you for breaking and laughing halfway through that, by the way.
I never can make it through the intros, and I am not going to start trying now.
I feel the same about the spoiler warnings. Usually it takes a couple of takes, but we got it on the first take this time.
Yeah, we're crushing it.
Anyway, I can't even think today or talk today. Welcome back to Spectre Radio. We are talking all things Ahsoka, Episode 1, Master Apprentice, with Episode 2, Toil and Trouble. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about what happened in these two powerhouses of premiere episodes, I'll say, because these both were back-to-back premiere episodes. But before we talk into our predictions and our instant reactions, Alyssa, take it away with these two episodes recap.
All right, we have a recap coming from comicbook.com. An opening crawl, the first for a live-action Star Wars show, explains why Ahsoka's hunting after Grand Admiral Thrawn. Two Dark Force users, Baylan Skoll and Shin Hati, track down and free Morgan Elsbeth, who has been in prison since her duel with Ahsoka during Season 2 of The Mandalorian. Meanwhile, Ahsoka investigates a temple on the planet of Arcana, hoping to find a map that leads to Thrawn. A group of HK-87 droids finds her, and a battle ensues, only for the droids to self-destruct and activate a cause to explode. With the help of Piang, Ahsoka escapes with the map and touches base with Hera Syndulla about what to do next. On Lothal, a celebration is held for the rebels' role in the liberation. Rider Azadi leads the celebration and introduces Sabine Wren to speak, but she's nowhere to be found. Skipping the ceremony, Sabine returns home to her loft cat, meow, and watches a hologram message from the late Ezra Bridger. In it, he explains their shared past and says she's like a sister to him. Sabine and Ahsoka reconnect, in part because Ahsoka wants Sabine's help in activating the map. After they reflect on their paths and Ahsoka's role or lack thereof in Sabine's becoming a Jedi, Sabine flees with the key herself. While speaking to Hera via hologram, Ahsoka acknowledges that she walked away from her own training with Anakin Skywalker, just as she walked away from being Sabine's Jedi Master. Meanwhile, Hiang analyzes the hilts of the lightsabers that helped free Morgan from captivity and realizes that one belongs to Baylan, who was one of a number of Jedi who disappeared and went into hiding during Adam's favorite, Order 66. Before Ahsoka can even begin to track down Baylan and Shin shows up on the planet and sets her sights on Sabine. Sabine duels with Shin, and in the final moments of the episode, she gets stabbed with a lightsaber. Luckily, in episode 2, Sabine is quickly revealed to be alive, waking up in a hospital and talking with Ahsoka, Hiang, and Hera about the next steps. Although Hera suggests that Ahsoka should make Sabine her Padawan once again, Ahsoka initially refuses, arguing that Sabine is not ready and is struggling to even use the Force. Meanwhile, Morgan, Baylan, and Shin meet on Arcana, where the map, stolen from Ahsoka and Sabine, reveals Thrawn's location. Morgan reveals that Thrawn can be found from a corner of space and time, no less, thanks to a device known as the Eye of Sion. While Baylan dismisses the universe and multiverse as folk tales, Morgan confirms it's real and can hear glimpses of a future where Thrawn returns. Sabine deconstructs one of the droids, discovering that its tech is from Corellia. Hera and Ahsoka travel there while Morgan's old shipyard is now under Republic control, even though it employs many of the same ex-Imperial workers. Despite her rank, Hera struggles to get security clearance, which raises suspicion. A fight ensues, Ahsoka dueling with one of Morgan's mercenaries, Marak. At the same time, Hera and Chopper take to the skies, chasing a ship that has a hyperdrive that can activate the Eye of Sion. Once they escape, Ahsoka reunites with Sabine, who has cut off her hair and donned her Mandalorian armor once again, ready to go on to the adventure that awaits. This scene is nearly a direct recreation of the final scene of Star Wars Rebels, with some minor changes for the live-action adaptation that die-hard fans like us will know. But it finally sets up the future of Star Wars fans have waited for many years to see. Holy crap. Try to follow that, Andrew.
Huh. Yeah, try that 3 times fast, right? Well, thank you, Alyssa, for reading our recap. Okay. I guess I'll take us in to our instant reactions. And I have reactions, and they were instant.
Hold on. No.
No.
You didn't bring us into this correctly.
I knew yeah, you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. Say it, Wyatt. Go ahead, say it.
No, this is all you.
No, you have to. It's your category, girl.
Why do I have to do it? I'm going to bring us into instant reactions. Reactions.
We'll take it.
Half-assed.
Okay. Okay, so a lot of first reactions here. I took notes, and I took a lot of notes.
So many notes. All the notes.
Not normal.
Some of us do our homework and write notes. Woo!
I don't usually need to do my homework, but...
Okay. Anyway, okay, spicy.
So we got a lot of things going on here.
Yes, we do.
I will try and keep this limited. Liked that we had writer Azadi. Same actor as the voiceover actor, because let's face it, Clancy Brown looks exactly like the character for the governor.
God.
Right?
Also, yeah. Can we just appreciate
this
is the second time we have Clancy Brown in the Star Wars universe?
Mm-hmm. In like what, two or 3 years?
No, I'm
he
I'm
was lost. The red horned guy Devronian... from the Prisoner episode.
Of Mandalorian.
Season 1 of The Mandalorian.
Oh.
Chapter 7, The Prisoner. My favorite episode.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was good.
Oh, and Mr. Krabs.
He voiced Savage Opress in the Clone Wars. So we've had him as three different characters.
Wow.
I was going to say, I thought there was another. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
We got a live action Jai Kell, who was the senator of Lothal now. He was in the episode Breaking Ranks. So the episode of Star Wars Rebels where they like insert Ezra into like the little, like, I don't know, ROTC training corps.
Empire. And with the moving platforms and stuff.
Yes. And the two of them break ranks together. And then he shows up later in season four and helps smuggle them into the city of Lothal when they try and liberate it. So that was really cool. We got the mural back from the end of Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we talk about the mural?
We can.
What did you guys think of the fact that it was a cartoon?
The mural? What do I think about the fact that the mural is a painting?
I mean,
no, I feel get like what you, I know, what you're, I know, saying. I know where, what you're saying, where you're getting to.
Like, it didn't, to me, it, like, I felt like it was too shot for shot. Like, they had obviously digitally recreated that, and I feel like
they didn't do it off of who the live action actors.
And it doesn't even have to be live action like likeness, but I feel like if it was actually painted or drawn by a human being instead of a computer, it would feel more practical and more live action.
I can agree with
that.
Like,
this is supposed to be like a shrine to war heroes, and like, when is the last time we saw a cartoon shrine for war heroes in like our society? Like, it doesn't,
it's true,
really exist. So for me, that kind of took me out of the live action world, and I felt like that was kind of the beginning of like that struggle of like, this is kind of working, but I feel like it's like watching a dog walk on its hind legs. You're like, okay, this is cool, but like, to what end? It's also kind of freaky.
Is it me, or did Kanan look a lot darker than what he was?
Oh, in the mural?
Yeah, like his skin tone looked closer to Jamaican than what he is.
I don't know. I didn't notice that.
That's the first thing I noticed was, I mean, I could make a bad joke and be like, was that him after he died? Like, after he got roasted by those fuel cells?
Oh, wow. Man.
Wow.
Sorry. I had to.
No. Anyway, moving on, acknowledging that point and moving on. Huang, we got David Tennant back.
Yeah. I'm looking at the comparison. Sorry. His hair is darker, like, and it makes his features look darker too. It's almost like, here, I can share my screen so you guys can see it, but it's like almost, whoops. It's like, sorry.
He is darker in the painting.
Yeah, he's got, his hair is darker. He's more like orangey red in the Rebels and more, he looks like Mediterranean, Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm. That Lothal sun, man.
I could see the Caribbean thought there, Wyatt. That makes sense to me.
That's just the very first thing that popped out to me. I mean, I thought, oh, cool, we had the mural.
And then a million like, wait a second.
Yeah, the ponytail, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. I mean, they all look very similar. And then...
And then
there's Zeb. Looks like Chuck E. Cheese. Scary. Continue, Andrew.
Sure. So back to it, Huang, David Tennant, we got him back, one of my favorite actors. So originally, in his couple of episodes in the Clone Wars, he won a daytime Emmy for his role in Clone Wars. Like, that's like all he had was a small voice role, and he still won an Emmy for it, like unexpectedly, because that was awesome. So it was a really good call bringing him back.
And that's Doctor Who, right? Same guy.
One of the doctors. The best doctors, I think.
Indeed. So Morgan Elsbeth, we got some more background for her. She's a descendant of the Night Sisters.
That was cool.
And it's clear that she's still a practicing witch.
She has powers.
Yeah. And like, you can have powers, but those have to be practiced. as we've seen when you can cut yourself off from the Force and stuff. So she is still using it. And the Night Sisters use a different version of the Force, and that's how they get their magic. It's not like exactly the dark side, but it's like something close. And clearly when she talked about beings from another galaxy and made that little shrine, and it looked like the shrine that was made by her ancestors. So maybe we'll get some insight as to like if there's any relation. So that was cool.
We didn't have any hints or any like plots that she was half magic in the Mando.
She was only in the one episode.
Yeah.
So I would have to go back and look, because I definitely didn't notice it.
There might have been Easter eggs that we missed not knowing, and now, like Andrew said, we could go back and look. I just think it's so funny that her name is so normal, and like
she's got the most normal name.
She has like the most white lady American name.
It's just a mispronunciation of Elizabeth.
Descendants from Salem are now like the same idea. You know, we don't have Winifred Sanderson. We have Sam Smith, I guess, to be fair.
You know what's really funny about this is that she looks exactly like a girl that I dated for about 4 years in high school. And
she was a witch too.
And shares the same first name. Just
weird. Oh, that's weird.
That's funny.
There you have it.
Lothal looks like it's booming in being freed from Imperial Reign, which we saw at the end of Star Wars Rebels, like it looked like a more shinier city at the end. And now I barely remember there being that lake or ocean or whatever. Like I remember it in a couple of shots when they have Star Destroyers just like parked in within the orbit, just like around the main buildings. But it looks like it's booming. It looks like the population's quadrupled. Like it's freaking beautiful.
It's almost like it looks like what Mandalore was before the siege.
So I thought it was when they first went there for like a quarter of a second, I was like, oh, we're going to Coruscant, or we're seeing Chandrilla, where Mon Mothma is from, because they have those white buildings too. And I was like, oh, holy crap, this is Lothal. I was like, wow. Okay, look what happens when you do more than just produce TIE fighters, like as your planet's main job. Like, I guess anything could happen. We got to see Corellia again, which is awesome. It was pretty cool.
A lot of ties to Solo in this opening.
Yes. So is it me or like Corellia kind of looks like the pictures I've seen of like Manhattan or New Jersey or some other naval yard like Norfolk or Chicago, like back from like World War II, like those kinds of shots.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I was picturing. And I was like, okay. So transitioning a little bit, still in the same category, Thrawn is even farther away than we thought.
He's out there.
So originally it was like, okay, like Lothal is somewhere in the outer rim. Not like, I don't think it's not that deep in the outer rim, but it's in the outer rim. And then beyond the outer rim is like wild space. And then the unknown regions is normally a term defined as things like obviously unknown, but still relatively in or near the galaxy. So it was said or suspected that he was in the unknown regions. I mean, I guess if several galaxies away is the unknown regions, like I never would have called that. Like
Was Palpatine? He was in the unknowns, right?
He was in the unknown regions. That's where Exegol is. Right. He had some kind of chamber that was able to like get his essence back to him at some point. So what's interesting to me is that Eye of Sion ship. A, did it look like that hyperspace ring for the Jedi starfighters to you guys?
Oh,
remember those?
It did. I thought it was. I'm like, is this how they teleport like Death Stars around the universe so fast?
Oh,
like the circular docking ring and the Jedi Starfighter docks and jumps, like episode 2 in the Clone Wars and all that. So I've seen a theory that like they're going and like maybe Thrawn's Star Destroyer is intact and it's going to like dock with it and it's going to get brought back. So that's.
Well, that makes sense because, I mean, we see him on the bridge. So,
yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm very interested in with that. We don't in Star Wars. We don't see a lot of things about other galaxies. Certainly not in canon.
In Legends, there was...
Multiverse? What's that?
Yeah. In Legends, there was not even that much about it, but they did have a species from another galaxy come in and, like, destroy a bunch of people, and, like, Chewbacca died as a result. It was like a lot of crap. But in that timeline, Han Solo lived, and Leia lived, and Luke lived, so it was a different timeline. But so let's talk about why do you guys think they need the Eye of Sion to get there, if you had to guess?
Because you're jumping two different galaxies, basically. You're connecting two galaxies, which I'm like, how else would you do that?
So, yes. Yeah, so
other than like dark magic. Right? Yeah.
So they have different hyperdrive classes in Star Wars. Like you heard Han say, we make 0.5 past light speed. He's got
ludicrous speed.
You literally
for you, Saudi.
He
gone to plaid. By the way, there was like a huge Spaceball reference in the opening, which is really a Episode 4 reference, not a Spaceballs reference, because Spaceballs is a reference of Episode 4. But the way that they opened on the ship like that and did the opening crawl, I was peeing my pants laughing because I was like, this is Spaceballs.
We know you anyway, like the Spaceballs.
We know. I love the Spaceballs.
So different hyperdrive classes mean they can go faster than others. Like 0.5 is twice as fast as a class 1 hyperdrive. A class 2 hyperdrive is the most standard, and then it goes all the way up to like 10. 10 is ridiculously slow. So if a class 1, if it takes you, you know, a week to go from point A across the galaxy to point B to opposite ends. So, and they would obviously be slower or faster depending on. So our galaxy is 100,000 light years. The Star Wars galaxy is supposed to be a little bit bigger. The space between galaxies is generally several hundred thousand to several million light years. So we're talking about like, oh, to get to Thrawn's galaxy with a good hyperdrive, it's going to take them weeks or months each way. So that's one of the reasons. And running that much power on maximum for so long is only good for one thing: burning out your power source.
Exploding droid heads in your hospital bed, right?
Literally. So those are the two reasons that they needed to build it. A, they need an engine that can do that for a long period of time, and B, they just plainly need to go faster. Because like, yeah, they could go at whatever slow speed they wanted, but like, what if Thrawn died in the time it took them to get there? So I'm assuming they need to get there kind of quick. I think those are all of my initial notes for now. I do have more, but they're probably going to be comments on you guys's. So we can go on to you guys.
Cool. Well, did anyone else get Treasure Island vibes when we got to see the map and the route to how to get to where Thrawn is?
Like Treasure Planet?
I've only
Planet?
Seen that once.
Treasure Planet. Yeah, I'm sorry. Treasure Planet.
I knew what you meant. I speak quiet.
I can see it now. I've really only seen that movie once, and I enjoyed that movie, but
I connected the dots when you said it. Yes, I could see that. I didn't think of it in the moment, but that's because there has been an exhausting amount of plots in Star Wars regarding fucking maps and holocrons and whatever, diadems and horcruxes and all the
lions
names
and tigers
that I can't
and bears.
Remember. Oh my, literally.
So I have a question about the map, and it's something I'm hoping is not the answer, because I did not like that whole dagger thing from Episode 9 that was like, oh,
right.
It
yes,
shows the
that
floating
was so dumb.
Okay, where's how can a dagger forged thousands of years ago randomly be like, oh, that's where these Death Star
with some
parts
debris
are
floating
in an
yes.
ocean.
That's floating.
And
thank
all of a
you.
Sudden it was, I thought it was going to be a dagger, real quick sidebar. I thought it was going to be a dagger that it's like, oh, this dagger, if you stab the Emperor with it, he will die, and his consciousness won't go into another body. That would have been better than a Goonies reference that didn't even work.
Goonies never say die, Andrew.
They don't, but it worked in their movie. It did not work in Star Wars.
It did. So, you're right. It was very Goonies of them. Damn, they watched way too much of that.
What I want to know is, okay, so she finds the orb in an ancient temple.
The map.
Was that, the map. Was that recently hidden there and somebody just knew where Thrawn was?
I mean,
or
they put
is
it
this
in
a
some
prophecy from thousands of years ago.
Some fucking kinetic sand or something. Like it was supposed to be there.
If we're following the same theory for the dagger, I think it was a prophecy. Or maybe that's
though, but didn't she say Morgan hid the map there?
If she, that's what I thought I was remembering. So Morgan hid the map. That's what I
thought she said, was Morgan hid the map there. And it was in sand. It's not like it was like,
yeah.
And it was booby trapped, like Indiana. Yeah. That's what it I was thinking about. Was Indiana Jones.
I was like, please have a giant ball. Please have a giant ball.
So,
yeah. Where's the boulder?
My question is, why would Morgan hide it if she's then looking for it?
She's looking for trouble.
She needs to recover it because she was arrested.
So she hid it before she got caught.
I think she had it on her. And she knew where Thrawn was, because remember, they've been building this Eye of Sion for a while. Like that's something that big takes time to build, especially if you're doing it in secret and nobody knows about it. I know it's
a Death Star.
But so, yes, or two Death Stars, actually. But yeah, so it takes time. So I think she, instead of risking getting caught with it on her, she hides it. And then eventually she gets captured by Ahsoka when she defeats her in combat. So I think that would be how that went.
Lord.
That explains how the ball was hidden, the globe was hidden, because she obviously used her witch magic.
I'm the map.
To be able to hide it, but
I'm the map.
Then, can we talk about how those bombs and those droids were like not thermal detonators, but like nuclear warheads?
Right. I'm thinking like, why is she running?
They were
so
smoking
fast?
Like days later.
I'm like, you just need to go around the corner. You're fine. And I was like, oh, that was half the continent. Okay.
Ridiculous.
And can we also talk
why
about...
couldn't she just open it with the Force? Why does Sabine have to open it with her brain?
I mean, she could
Ahsoka's
break
not
it open
also smart?
If she wants.
I don't know.
No, she could break it open if
all
she
did
wants,
was clickety-clickety Rubik's cubity clickety it.
Yeah, but there's
so you're telling me Ahsoka couldn't figure that out?
There's got to be hundreds.
I feel like it was
a
device for her to like get connected back with. Sabine.
I think she
like,
definitely
she
could have put
out.
More effort into it, but
that's
I think
like,
it would have taken her a lot longer.
That's like using the Force to figure out the Da Vinci Code. That's not how it works.
It's possible.
I mean, so she can run through hundreds of combinations somewhat quickly, but I mean, you don't know how many combinations there are.
And also, can't you like feel things with the Force? I don't know. I'm just saying.
You can. It depends on what the Force chooses to reveal to you.
Or maybe Ahsoka needed this to bridge the gap between her and Sabine. She needed
the Force, or the Force needed her to do that. Yes, you did.
Thanks for agreeing with me, Wyatt.
That'll never happen again. Anyway.
Right.
That was very Timon and Pumbaa. It was very Timon and Pumbaa. What if it was this? No. Wait, what if it was this? Wow, that was a great idea.
Wow, great idea that somebody said 5 minutes ago.
Basically explains mine and Alyssa's friendship in a nutshell right there.
Correct.
Can we talk about how Sabine got Qui-Gon'd and survived?
Yes.
Yeah, it was not her heart.
I was going to say, I like to think that is a different location. Also, she's a little tiny, skinny person versus like a bigger dude with bigger organs that could bleed more or something. 60. I don't know. Right. And also, I would like to think that even in Star Wars, the technology could advance in that short time span.
I mean, Reva survived it.
Right. It's like more common now that you get stabbed and you live, or even that you get cut in half and lived. So... you know,
yeah, it
cauterizes
shit. Yeah. You're not bleeding out.
Too.
Also,
like, she probably lost her appendix or something.
What's the name of the female villain in this? What's her name?
Morgan Elsbeth? Or
No.
The lightsaber
the
one. Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot.
Whatever her name is. Did you notice that her saber isn't red? It's more of an
neither
orange.
One of them are red. They're not
what?
Crimson. They're not
so they're
crimson
not...
red like traditional Sith.
I didn't notice
Balin's
that.
Looked red.
Hati, which is like a weird name, but can we just say Balin Skull is the coolest Star Wars name
that's
in this
so
series?
R.I.P.
It is so good. Yes R.I.P. our friend Ray.
That was awesome. So I was like, our friend Ray. I was like, oh, Ray Stevenson. Yeah.
That was beautiful.
His that might be a little more red, but I think it's supposed to show that they're not Sith. I think that's what it's supposed to show. I think they're like an offshoot, like Legends versions of like the Inquisitors, because they had Inquisitors before Disney took over.
Right.
So I think they're more orange color. They're like an off red, was my understanding.
Yeah. And with you bringing up Qui-Gon, I feel like this was maybe not super intentional, but when the episode title was Master and Apprentice, it got me thinking like Sabine is to Ahsoka as Ahsoka was to Anakin, as Anakin was to Obi-Wan, as Obi-Wan was to Qui-Gon. Like
Qui-Gon was to Mace.
Right, exactly. Like we could keep going, because I feel like it's like the apprentice is this snippy, attitude-y little, I'm going to test you, I'm going to steal the stuff, and I'm going to run away when you told me not to. Mm-hmm. And the master is like always has their arms folded, shaking their head, whether it's Obi-Wan or Ahsoka or whoever, right? So I just thought that was
I have to credit Eckhart's Ladder YouTube channel with this, because like I had it like on the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't express it into words until I heard him say it. So the beginning of the episode, when the two off-brand Sith land, it was like a dark mirror
Baylan twist. And Shin.
Yes. A dark mirror twist of the Phantom Menace, when two Jedi board a ship and then destroy the security detail and they have their hoods up. So I like, it was like so familiar, and I couldn't put it into words until I heard it.
That's
and I was like, well,
funny.
That's kind of cool.
Not Star Wars referencing itself.
So Andrew, I got a question for you. So we obviously we're post episode 6, Vader's dead.
Yes.
Vader killed all the Inquisitors, correct?
It was, that is my understanding, is the ones who either didn't kill each other or weren't killed by like Kanan, Maul, or Ahsoka or anybody like that, is that he killed the rest of them because they were no longer needed, because there were a decent amount of Jedi in the galaxy around Rebels, but after that, like, they just kept getting killed off. So that's my understanding, although it does look like that third guy could have been a former Inquisitor.
Maybe they just had a former weapon of an Inquisitor.
And armor, yeah. So, yeah, that could be. So that's my understanding of the situation.
Right. And one last thing, and then Alyssa, you can do your reactions. But was it me, or did I just forget that Ahsoka and Sabine weren't really on speaking terms?
They never told us that. I feel like that... We
news?
Never saw that, right? Like in Rebels,
that was
they
only
never explicitly
in
said
the commercials.
Yeah,
the previews for the trailers.
Yeah, the trailers.
Because there was no reference in Rebels that she was gonna apprentice her.
Right. So something had to happen in the however many years difference from season 4 to now. Which,
well,
by the way,
also I was just gonna say I'm agreeing, because there's so much change in Ahsoka, obviously from Ashley to Rosario, but also like a 30 something year old to a 44 year old. Right.
Yeah.
So she's like seen some shit, and we don't know what she's seen.
It's basically been about 9 years or so between Rebels season 4 and now, because it's Rebels season 4 is supposed to be like a couple months max before Rogue One, which is 30 minutes before episode 4. And then it's 4 years between 4 and 6. And then it's been at least 5 years to Mandalorian time. We might be 2 years farther than that, maybe 3. But so we're still at that 10-12 year mark is
so
where
we are just,
in that time.
Are we just assuming that they've just fallen out, or they just haven't talked in the 15 year difference?
No, I don't think
it,
she
it could
apprenticed
be something...
her so soon after that.
Yeah,
I feel like and this might be more a prediction, but I feel like we're going to kind of unravel some of that more into the show and get some real good character development from Sabine.
I think.
Yeah, we already
I think it's a
that.
Few
Absolutely.
Years after Rebels season 4 is when they start whatever. And then it's probably been a 5 or 7 year gap since they've seen each other. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I don't know. It looked like at Rebels season 4, when they show her getting picked up, it looked like that was after Endor. So I mean, yeah, that would be about 5 or 7 years or so. I could see that timeline. I hope and we get more of that.
Also, did you notice that they spelled the name of this series wrong? It's supposed to be Rebels season 5, not Ahsoka.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Alyssa, what do you think?
I wrote down a lot of notes when I watched this last night. I was like waiting for the first moment that I was going to be like, oh, like rebels. And as soon as they called her Fulcrum on the transmitter, I was like, ah, Fulcrum. Here I don't know why that just, that did it for me. I was like so excited. And also, I mean, I know we feel like we always reference Star Wars within Star Wars, and we've already referenced that exact thing on this podcast, but there was a quote early on in the episode where someone said like, that's not possible. And my brain immediately went, that's impossible. So same. I love that. I know we talked about Corellia and some of the like flashes to Solo. That scene where Sabine was on the speeder bike and like running away from the ship that was chasing her to like come to the ceremony. I feel like that was like a mirror image to when Solo was doing the same on the speeder bike with Kira, right? Like, and they were like racing to like get away. It was like almost shot for shot. And obviously that was on Lothal, that wasn't Corellia, but it made me think of that. Sabine, definitely, I feel like you're right, and we can talk more about this during predictions, that she's going to get a really good character arc, because they're already, I feel like this, these first two episodes, even though it's called Ahsoka, it was more on like her story and her character development as like the Padawan, spoiler alert, of Ahsoka. Because like we literally see her running and speeding away from her grief. Like, I feel like that's her not processing Ezra being gone or her responsibility with that. So I thought that was interesting that later on in the episode, you see the camera like intentionally kind of pan over to her bike, and she doesn't choose to like get on the bike and leave. She chooses to fight Shin and face her. And she could have grabbed like a blaster or, I don't know, she could have grabbed anything. She could have put on her Mandalorian armor, and she chose to fight her with a lightsaber. Like, out of all the arsenal she had to choose from, she chose her lightsaber. So I thought that was really cool and kind of...
You mean again, Ezra's lightsaber?
Yes, exactly. Ezra's lightsaber. So almost like, to your point, then kind of like embracing her grief and like using it. Wow, that would be crazy. So I thought that was really beautiful. What else here? Oh, the text I got from Wyatt in between episode 1 and 2. The text you sent that said, I'm so happy, came as soon as I saw Sabine get stabbed.
I think he was about 10 minutes ahead of you.
I have the Disney Plus with commercials, so I was like 10 minutes behind. But I was like, why is he so happy right now? And then also I was like, there's another episode. Like, it's not over. Like, keep watching and shut up. Like, is what I said.
So I was, what? I was 10 minutes into the second episode.
You were happy she was alive, I imagine.
I was just happy that we have Star Wars again, to be honest.
True story.
But yeah, I thought that was finally like a realistic fight, like Sabine lost and... It you know, again, kind of lends itself to her character arc. The music was awesome, like when they were fighting she was doing like her transformation, and like the speeder bike song was my favorite. It was like this anime Harajuku, like Tokyo Drift.
It was very
like,
on
music.
Brand for
it was
her character.
Very on brand for her. Very, it was
even
so
though
good.
She lost the fight and she's out of practice with a lightsaber, she did pretty freaking good.
She held her own. That and I good. Mean, that's Anakin's teaching through Ahsoka to her. The Purrgles! We had a glimpse of the Purrgles in the sky. Did you see them?
I did.
I got so excited. And I was like, the Purrgles! We all already texted about this in our group chat, the because you're a hologram line.
That was amazing.
That we were all dying.
I say go for
at.
It. Because you're a hologram.
Because you're a hologram.
And she just like,
so,
yeah.
That was great. And as soon as This was what I was Googling before we started recording. As soon as we got Peter Jacobson, the little guy, the shorter guy, the little mousy, squeaky guy, come on the screen, I was like, bad guy, immediately villain, because he plays so many villains in Law and Order. He's been Bart Ganzel, Randy Dworkin, who was like a lawyer, so I guess technically not a bad guy, but that's questionable. He's a lawyer. So as soon as I saw him, I was like, villain, bad guy. And then, of course, they very interestingly lent the Mandalorian storyline into this storyline with like the Empire and the droids rising up and the people rising up. And I was just like, this ex-Imperial storyline, even though they're technically not in the exact same timeline, like they're split apart, right, a little bit, I feel like that was like kind of right on the nose a little bit, which
I'm glad they referenced it so we could see that it's a galaxy-wide issue.
Yes, exactly. So I had so many other notes, but that was my top reactions right there.
Cool. And I'm sure more of them will come up as we continue to talk into predictions. So something that kind of sparked me a little bit, Alyssa, when you were reading the recap from Screen Grant, or what source was that?
Comic.
It was comicbook.com.
Comic book. You said that they said the late Ezra Bridger.
Yes.
Usually when you say the late, usually they're past.
Yeah.
So my prediction is we're not going to get Ezra. I think all we're going to get is just the holocron. I think they're going to be searching for Ezra and stumble across Thrawn.
So, I mean, we're already steering into the trope of Star Wars. When somebody's dead, they're not actually dead, because they were but Thrawn is gone. And then they were like, just kidding, dark magic or whatever. He's fine. He's out there.
Somehow they traveled through hyperspace with shattered windows.
Somehow Palpatine returned. Somehow Thrawn survived shattering the windows.
I mean, like, you can't breathe in space. Like, so the windows are shattered and somehow he lives.
Unless you're Peter Quill, Wyatt's favorite. So.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not really a validated prediction, but it is a prediction of mine.
But why would they confirm the guy for live action just for a hologram?
Because he's.
To trick us?
Have you met Dave Filoni? Have we not studied his works?
What is he, a prophet?
of directors.
Gather round, children. Let me read you a herald from the book of the prophet Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni.
All hail the mighty altar of Dave Filoni. Let's bow.
We're not
at the
worthy.
Shrine.
We're not worthy.
I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, it's a small prediction. And
it would be a very interesting one if it was true. And a lot of people would be very angry.
And who knows, the search for Ezra Bridger might continue on to season two of Ahsoka if there is a second season.
I feel like that's a given, even if this show flops, which I don't think it has already.
No.
It's already a hit. I feel like they're going to give us a season two.
It was someone's prediction that we were going to get Thrawn in the first episode. And here we are two episodes in without it. I don't remember who it was.
Who could have predicted this?
I never said my predictions were right. They're just fun to predict. Okay.
No, for sure.
Let's update it then. So what episode are we getting Thrawn?
Are we getting six episodes?
It's eight, isn't it? Hold on.
Six more.
Eight total.
Six more. Oh gosh. There has to be some point in the storyline to where they're absolutely destroyed, where they feel like there's no reason to continue on the fight. And I feel like that's when Thrawn's going to either appear or he's about to come around the corner.
I think we're going to get him in the second to last episode, at the end of the second to last
episode. That late?
The seventh?
And then we'll get him for a full episode.
I think we're going to get him, I think, four or five. I think that's what
I would
say.
Love that. I would love nothing more for that, but I generally don't
watch. It'll be the next one. So yeah. I feel like it'll be end of four going into five, like the back nine, because
it's a cliffhanger into episode
five. as much as I would like it to be the next episode and like mm-hmm. them just open it with like him on the bridge and be like, what up? Because they could totally do that. Yeah, they could totally do that. It will be interesting if we get kind of like the Book of Boba Fett rebirth origin story of how Thrawn survived too. That could be a whole nother piece. But after the Mandalorian season 3, I feel like I can't predict anything anymore. So
they've changed the formula.
They're gonna give us what we want tomorrow. What? No. They can't do that. We have to wait till episode 7. That just is how it goes.
Because if Thrawn's been gone for 15 years, if he's been in exile, if he's been around no other living beings, what has he been doing? We know at least
snuggling with Purgles.
At least we know from Rebels, and Andrew and I know from the books, he's not one just to sit back and do nothing. He's always planning to do something next.
Well, I'm wondering how much of his crew survived, if he survived. There's 50,000 people on a Star Destroyer.
I don't think anybody survived. I think it's just him.
Oh, yeah.
I just think he's like Yoda on Dagobah. He just found somewhere to basically just hide out and wait till somebody finds him.
I'm still fond of
the meme. They did use that word.
I'm still fond of the meme.
Yeah, did Morgan use that?
I think she used the word banished.
Banished
in exile, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. At the end of the second episode, yeah.
That's right. I'm fond of the meme where it's like Ezra and Thrawn live action in the unknown regions, and it's just Aladdin and the genie. The live action Aladdin and genie.
Oh, my. He ain't never had a friend like me. I'm dead.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, maybe they've like crashed and he like just, I don't, is he working with Ezra because there's something worse out there that they have to survive together? Or does he have him captive?
Okay, here's a wild one. What if Thrawn turned Ezra?
My apprentice.
Yes. He did what Maul couldn't.
Exactly.
My apprentice.
So,
Ted. This Master back, and apprentice! There it this, is!
This goes back to what I said earlier, that we don't have a lot of information on stuff for beyond the galaxy. There's only one race that I know of that they've talked about in Legends that's beyond the galaxy. And that's the only thing I can think of that would be worse than the Empire in Ezra's eyes that would make him team up with Thrawn. Like, and as much as Thrawn is not the most evil Imperial guy out there, like, he's a fairly neutral, cares about civilian casualties guy for the most part. Ezra thinks Thrawn is evil, like, because he oppressed his home. That's just the lens he's going to see him through.
Right.
So as much as I don't think that they're going to do it, I don't think they're going to bring the species, the Yuuzhan Vong, into canon. That would be a way to do it, because they're in another galaxy already. And B, it would be a way for them to team up and a reason that they've survived together. So
interesting.
Almost like that one Clones episode where Zeb and
Rebels episode.
Blonde haired.
Callus. You said Clones.
Yes. It was Rebels. Rebels. When they get stuck in the cave and they end up working together.
I forget what it was called.
Oh, yeah. The boyfriends.
It wasn't Brothers in Arms. Yeah. It was something else. You said the boyfriend?
Yeah, the boyfriends.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because there's...
Anytime Callus is around, together. I'm like, yes, they're boyfriends in all the fan art. Thank you.
Oh, true, they are. I have seen that.
Yeah, because Alyssa shared it.
I ship Callus with anyone. Right. I ship Callus with anybody. I just want him to have a life outside the Empire.
The Honorable Ones is what it was called.
The Honorable Honor. Boyfriends. Yes. Very good. Very good.
That's my official prediction. So,
are we getting Zeb, though? What do we think about that?
I think there's no way they dropped him once just to never drop him again. Unless the CGI is not sustainable long term. Mm-hmm. Like how they did it, if it's like, yeah, it worked in this, let's try doing it in a longer shot. And it's like,
but what if they did hologram like they did Hera, and like,
yeah,
they could do that more. I feel like that wouldn't be
So, okay, real quick, White, you said your official prediction is what? Because you did like three predictions.
That Thrawn turned Ezra.
Okay. I like that. That's interesting.
And I feel like either the end of this season or next season is going to be how Ahsoka and or Sabine is going to try to turn him back.
So that's he's my, dead, that's my and prediction. Also he was turned.
Either way,
he's I'm covering happy. All the bases. We're covering all the it. Bases. All right, just make sure I'm tracking. Just make sure I'm tracking. All right, so when do we think we would get Zeb, if at all? I feel like it's got to be
next episode. Next episode. Like I'm just going to say next episode. Soonish. Yeah.
Maybe when Thrawn I'd like comes to see back, him with like, Chopper. Hey, we need again. Everybody.
Yeah, right. Well, right. Chopper, get the band back together.
Get out of Chopper. My room.
Well, Zeb is obviously the muscle of the group. So I feel like once they have a clear outlined mission, they're going to find him to be the muscle in a mission.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pilot right now with a squadron right. on Space but Vietnam not, or wherever they were.
Oh, my God. But they're not in the same timeline, right? That's in the future, isn't it? On the Mandalorian?
So we don't exactly know what year this takes place in. So
maybe they'll establish that during the
show. It could be the beginning of Mandalorian. It could be the middle, like where
yeah, Grogu I thought it was the beginning of Mandalorian.
It could be the middle where Grogu and Din are separated, or it could be after that. We also don't know how long the separation
and
was.
When are we going to get a Mando Grogu crossover, if at all? Because it is during their timeline, whether it is season one or season four.
I mean, yeah.
When are we going to? I would like to see the baby. When do we?
We also don't know how long that separation was. It could have been a couple weeks. It could have been a year.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
So like this could be anywhere in a 4 year.
Maybe Sabine got jealous of Grogu and was like, "There can only be one. I'm out of here."
Do you think this is why? I think I referenced this last pod. Do you think this is why Ahsoka opted to not train Grogu? So do you think
because
this comes
failed with Ahsoka with Sabine?
So I think that part takes place before her meeting Luke and talking about or meeting Din and talking about that with Grogu. But I see we don't know exactly where this
we
falls
need answers.
Until they tell us. They need to tell
what
us.
What day is
year.
It, Filoni? What freaking day?
What ABY? What ABY?
Yeah, ABY.
For those of you that don't know, BBY is before Battle of Yavin. So if it was 10 years, it'll be 10 BBY. ABY is after Battle Yavin. So, you know, episode 6 was 4 ABY. So it was 4 years after.
And this is supposed to be 9.
This is supposed to. Yeah, basically. I think the beginning of season 1 of Mando is 5 years after Endor. So, and then it just goes whatever from there. So
I know things. I finally know.
She drinks and she knows things.
She drinks and she knows things.
I just drink.
I don't know. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. It's all a mystery, but I feel like there's a shit ton of cameos to come.
Rex. I hope we get Rex.
Yeah. Oh,
he was as part of the Spectre crew. Rex, Kallus.
I mean, that's
my friends. We got to get Hondo.
Yes, a Hondo. I feel like Hondo's probably one they would save for season 2. If they're going to basically kind of reconstruct the Spectre crew. And I really hope, like we talked about, that we get a Jason Syndulla. I don't know if that will actually happen, but
do you think we'll get
that would
AP5?
Be nice. Or even like a call to her child and be like, "Hey, you need any money? You got lunch money? You good?" Like, I don't know.
Have you obviously made his favorite dinner lately? Something cute like that.
Right. Like, how's he doing? Even an acknowledgement in the storyline about him, right, in a conversation.
Do you think we'll get the Severus Snape droid, AP5?
Oh
Rebels,
my god, the Snape
inventory
droid.
Oh my god, I loved him.
Severus Snape droid.
That's what I call him. I feel like we're getting so many droids. It's very possible. That's right.
I'm like, it's Alan Rickman. I don't know.
It is.
I don't think it was, but it sounded so much like him.
Reincarnated. Yeah.
Literally. RIP.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I feel like that will be interesting. And I know there's going to be twists if Filoni is involved, right? There's got to be some twists. Obviously, there's great humor already with Chopper. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so far the only animated to live action interpretation that has been a chef's kiss, like absolutely perfection.
Perfect. No, I didn't.
The
go
voice, the mannerism.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, here
yeah.
It is.
You can totally understand everything he's saying. It's so funny. It's perfect, and it's everything I could ever want. So very happy with that. But yeah, I'm waiting for like a little more breadcrumbs to try to figure out and predict like what could possibly happen next, because we kind of already had the other shoe drop a couple times on things. So it's kind of hard to speculate where the plot is going, since it's so straightforward of like, okay, we're following a map. We got to go to this planet. We got to go to the person who stole the map. We got to go here. We got to go there. So it's pretty linear right now. And I feel like for me, at least, it doesn't leave much open to interpretation or guessing. I need a little more plot to do that.
So I read that Dave Filoni is doing a like New Republic movie. And it'll bind some of those threads and plot points from the other shows that maybe haven't come to fruition. It'll bind those together. So are we getting that before another Mandalorian season? Or are we done with the Mandalorian?
No, what do you guys think?
That we can make that part of this prediction. It's a different episode, but whatever.
We have like a teaser date for the movie. I think it was like 2025. I'm trying to pull up the timeline.
So a year and a half minimum.
Hold on, let me pull this up. Yada yada yada.
Well, again, the writer's strike is pushing everything back, I'm sure.
Right. Exactly.
And now the actors have joined.
Skeleton Crew 2023, Andor August 2024, season 2.
A year.
The Alkalite 2024. And then we have The Bad Batch season 3 2024.
Nice.
The Mandalorian season 4 to be determined. And then we have the Rey spinoff movie to be determined in theaters. And then untitled Dave Filoni movie to be determined. So I feel like that's going to come.
And they've shelved the Book of Boba Fett. So I don't know if they're planning on having him do something else. What they need to do is give Tim Morrison a shot at directing, at least partial creative control. I think that would be cool, but he's already said he's down
like
to play Rex.
Sounds like there's a few movies in the works. He'll be back. I don't think he'll have a cameo in this arena, unless it's as Rex, like you're saying.
I don't think
he would be here as that other.
Oh, one quick thing before we wrap up that I totally forgot that we had the Phantom.
We did. It was very brief image in the hangar.
No, they were.
Oh, you're talking about that the Phantom. I thought you were talking about the Ghost, because we Phantom. Got the Ghost for a second. But
oh, did we? I didn't think so. But yeah,
when they were
yeah,
coming
the drawings
into
the
hangar. Yeah,
the drawings like on the cot that was the Phantom.
No,
right?
No. No, that was Ahsoka's shuttle, the ship that Hera flew.
Okay,
that was the.
Okay, gotcha.
It's the little detachable shuttle that comes off the Ghost.
And why does Sabine have drawings in Ahsoka's shuttle from the original time she was
maybe,
the Padawan?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because that's Sabine's. Like, there's nobody else that would draw that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Graffiti that shit.
In the meantime, if you're interested in our names for what we've named ourselves on Zoom this time, Wyatt is Sabine's Lothcat. She has remained the same as Mrs. Millennium Falcone, which is really awesome. A nod to her new-ish last name. And then I am Sabine Wren's rebound boyfriend, and I'm okay with that.
You're right about one thing, Captain. We are no Jedi, but we are Spectre Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Put a lid on it, Chop, was my other one, but that didn't really work for the ending. So put a lid on it, boys, until next time, and we'll have another episode very soon with another recap.
Can't wait.
One episode, not two. So maybe it'll be a shorter recap. Probably.
I'm so excited.
I'm
so excited about this.
Yes, and hopefully some guests very soon. So stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Assault the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.